Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart with a bit of laryngitis. But what a show we have planned for you today. I think you're going to enjoy it. So now this is our Denver Bible Church update. I've got the Bible open here to Genesis chapter 12, and that's where Abraham comes on the scene. His name was originally Abram, and God changed it to Abraham, and his wife Sarah, he changed her name to Sarah. But we read that the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country." He was born in Ur of the Chaldees, which is in today's Iraq. And it was a pagan city, and they had a huge temple where they worshiped pagan idols. And that's the city he grew up in. But Abram was looking to the real God, the true God, and God so loved Abraham. So God appeared to Abram and said, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Today in Israel, what's the big issue is, who does the land belong to? The Palestinians or the Jews? Well, God said, leave this place, Iraq, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you. That's because from Abraham's seed the Messiah came. So actually, in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. That is, all the nations, whoever puts their trust in Jesus Christ. So it's such a neat story. And so Abram departed, and he went to the land of Canaan. And in the land of Canaan, he talked to God again. That was Genesis 12. In Genesis 15, God brought Abram outside of the tent and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars." And he said, "So shall your descendants be." So God promised Abram that he would have a huge family, offspring, a nation. And Abraham believed in God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then God said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." So neat. And then a few centuries later, Moses is leading Abraham's descendants out of Egypt. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, God says that every place, he says to the Jews, for when they go into the promised land, every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Actually, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, to the Mediterranean, shall be your territory. So that's the land God wanted to give Israel, but it turns out that we read in the Bible that the Jews did not honor God, and they did not possess the land as they should have. And so God said, all right, these pagan nations that I was going to cast out of the land, I'm going to leave them there now because you didn't obey me, and they will be a thorn in your side. And that's a consequence of you disobeying me. That's the story of the Bible. It's so real. And in so many ways, it's not mystical. It's a simple story of God interacting with a few men, prophets, and telling them what he'd like to do and giving them commands. And when they obey him, God blesses them, and they disobey him and he curses them. And the curses are just necessary. So God gave the land to Israel, but the Arab world, they take the story of the Bible, and Muhammad, centuries after Christ, perverted the story of the Bible. And with Abraham's two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, they made Isaac the bad guy and Ishmael the good guy, even though they had no record of that for thousands of years after the book was written, and twisted it only millennia later. Well, you're invited to Denver Bible Church, but right now, stay tuned for a really great Bob Enyart Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyer, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. We have a guest we're trying to get on the line, and if so, I think you'll be startled by his story. But before we get to that, the Democratic primaries tonight, we've got the results in every primary, final results, and this is how it comes out with 100% precincts reporting. We've scooped the national media on this, and it's this. First place in every state turns out to be the same. It's the pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-socialist, anti-war candidate. In second place, it's the pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-socialist, anti-war candidate. In third place, it's the pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-socialist, anti-war candidate. And in fourth place, in all Democratic primary states tonight, it is the pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-socialist, anti-war candidate. So that's who's won the races tonight as the Democrats try to figure out who is going to be their candidate for president. So, and we have a real tragic event happened in Denver, real sad story, with a woman who kidnapped a two-week-old baby, has now just been sentenced. And what is the sentence? What is the sentence? The sentence is this. A woman, she befriended a new mom, and she kidnapped the two-week-old son. And so she was sentenced in Denver to 4 years of probation. How was that? 4 years of probation? And we've got a prosecutor from the Denver District Attorney's Office, Michael Dave, saying, I think it was appropriate. So God in the Bible says if you kidnap someone, the penalty is death. And God says that when you swiftly and painfully execute people, that will be a deterrent. And in our country, we have a surprisingly large number of kids who are kidnapped, even though it's nothing like the hysteria that was claimed back in the 80s. We've got thousands of kids every year that are kidnapped. And if people are tempted into kidnapping a child, and they see a story like this where a kidnapper gets 4 years of probation, you've got criminals out there that think, I could do 4 years of probation standing on my head. Who cares? Who gives a rip? And the prosecutor says, I think it was appropriate. And if you wonder about things that make God grieve, what makes God grieve? Right, we read in the New Testament that in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit grieves when we sin, we Christians. And it also makes God grieve when our government profanes him, when you profane God. And God said in the Bible, he said, do not profane me, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live. Because God is the one who commanded, when do you execute somebody? By the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, I've got, obviously you can tell, I've got a severe case of laryngitis. And I haven't talked in 2 days. Last night we did a rerun because of my laryngitis. And we've even postponed we're going to do a very mild telethon. We do it in February so that we could stay on for the year on KLTT in Denver. And we postponed that till next week because last night I could hardly talk at all. And So anyway, you guys have been spared for a week. But when we do telethons, they're mild. We have help from Doug McBurney. We have a lot of fun. And usually, thanks to our listeners, we raise the money that we need to just eke out our budget. Why don't we ever shoot for, like, getting wealthy? We should just up the thermometer. We say we're going to raise whatever, you know, in September we raised, was it $8,000 for the whole year to stay on the internet at kgov.com and all the associated expenses. And we hit our goal. Why didn't we do like $18,000 or $28,000? See, I don't think big enough. But God says in the Bible that you profane God when you keep people alive who should not live. So did you know that? Do you know where God says that in the Bible? Do you know where? What? How about this? Which book? We won't make it too hard. It's just worth 3 points. Which book? 1-800-836-9278. And why does it profane God not to execute this Darlene Banuelos, 30 years old? She kidnapped a two-week-old baby, and her public defender said, well, she never intended to hurt the baby. She never intended to hurt the baby, so she kidnapped him from his mother. That lawyer, you know, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have the biblical view of lawyers. We don't like them. That lawyer sure has a sickly, narrow definition of hurt, right? To say this kidnapper never intended to hurt the baby? Well, she robbed the baby of its mother. And it's just such a despicable, despicable crime. And in our society, it's become really tolerable. 4 years of probation. 4 years of probation. And then the prosecutor should be outraged. And he's quoted in today's Rocky Mountain News saying, I think it was appropriate. And you don't have the Rocky Mountain News quoting an advocate saying how it used to be the penalty for kidnapping was death, and we've come such a long way to where things like kidnapping and murder are epidemic in our society. Epidemic. That there are thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of the most wicked crimes, and they're just routine. We process them as though we're an assembly line. We'll be back right after this.
Bob and Yurt Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or kgov.com.
This is Bob and Yurt with a live commercial break. Hey, let me tell you about two of our videos, two of the ones we've produced right here, Mount Moriah and A Bible Tour of Israel. Boy, they go together so well. Mount Moriah is the evidence that we've assembled in a two-hour video for the resurrection. The evidence from history and even geography, believe it or not, the story of the Bible, the story of history, and the story of the Holy Land that supports the resurrection. And there is a mountain of evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. After all, Paul said, if Christ is not risen, then we are, of all men, the greatest fools. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the center of Christianity. In this video, Mount Moriah, if you are not a Christian, we will send you this free for the asking. If you are a Christian, it's $24.95 plus shipping and handling. And you could share it, first watch it to strengthen your own ability to witness, and then share it with unbelievers, share it with friends. It's done quite a job at reaching others. And then also a Bible tour of Israel. We've gone a few times to the Holy Land. This last time we've gone during the current Intifada, we put together this video, a Bible tour of Israel. You will love it, and it'll help you understand the word. So call us or go online and order. Bob Enyard here. At the beginning of the show, we were talking about the ancient prophecies that God gave, starting in Ur of the Chaldees, to a man named Abram, that he'd give him the land of Canaan. And we took that through to when Israel then was in the land, and then later when the Jews were wandering in the wilderness. Well, of course, in Israel today and in the Middle East, in fact, around the world, the Arab population has turned strongly against the Jews and denied that the Jews have a right to the land. And the Jews, of course, have fought for their right to be in the land, and that's caused quite a hatred to grow up. And I'd like to introduce to you now a man who I think we could describe as a former Palestinian terrorist, a man who was born in Bethlehem and began attacking Israelis when he was just 8 years old, throwing stones and Molotov cocktails. His name is Waleed Shubat. Waleed, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have you on the show, sir.
I'm honored.
And not because you were a former terrorist, because now you're a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So, Waleed, could you please help us to tell us your story? You were a young boy, and you had a hatred toward the Jews. Why?
Well, the hatred stemmed right from the family upbringing when my family were involved with Hajj Amin al-Husseini, who was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. He was the notorious friend of Adolf Hitler. He used to come to our house as well. And he started rioting against the Jewish immigrants in the land, and he was collaborating with Adolf Hitler to destroy all the Jews in the Middle East and in Bosnia. As a matter of fact, he was the founder of the Nazi division, SS division called the Hansar Troops, which recruited Muslims from all over and killed hundreds of thousands of Christians and Jews.
Now,
and
Waleed, this is the Grand Mufti, how do you say that?
Mufti of Jerusalem.
The Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. Give us his name again.
Hajj Amin al-Husseini.
All right, that's a little rough for our Western ears to process.
Hajj Amin al-Husseini.
All right, Hajj Amin al-Husseini.
That's right.
And he, the Grand Mufti, what does that mean, the Grand Mufti?
Grand Mufti means he's the Supreme Council of all Islamic affairs.
In Jerusalem.
He's the guy in charge of all the Islamic control in that region.
And
so he's sort of, you could say, the Pope of the Arab legions there.
And you sound like a young man, so he must have been an old man.
This is history from my father's time, and he died. I was still living when he died, when Hajj Amin died in Egypt. He lived in Egypt. But we were trained in the schools, no thanks to him, after he started all these riots and did massacres against the Jews, the massacre of Hebron, other massacres. And so we, at sixth grade, I remember my first words and my first song that I learned was, "Arabs are beloved and Jews are dogs," in school. We had to sing this.
Oh.
And later on in elementary school, we were learning all kinds of false history and fabricated history against the Jews. And in the Islamic studies, we learned that the Jews are converts of monkeys from the Quran. And we learned all these notorious things, even though I never met a Jew. And then I witnessed the Six Days War. When it happened, the 6 days and six nights, we were hiding in our house as the Israelis battled with the Arab armies that attacked them. And sort of like the story of Joshua. You know, Joshua went 6 days and six days around the walls of Jericho, and on the seventh day they took the city and created Israel. So it's the same way the capture of Jerusalem, the liberation of Jerusalem, where the Jews came in, and they were very peaceful people. All these things that you read about the Jewish people and Israel is all fabrications. They were righteous.
Wally, we've been there only three times. My wife and I are friends. And when we go to Israel, we go on a typical tour. We stay there for, you know, about 2 weeks or so. And we try to mingle as much as we can with Palestinians and Jews. And we try to spend our money where it will help encourage people. So we try to spend our money in Palestinian restaurants or businesses to encourage people that there can be hope. And you can have prosperity without being a terrorist. And I have to say that when I mingle and talk with Jews, and I'm biased because I believe in the Bible and it's the book of the Jews. God gave us the Bible through the Jews. But when I talk to them, I really get the sense that they grieve over the deaths, even of Palestinians. But when Jews are killed, I see on TV that the Palestinians celebrate in the streets.
Well, you have to understand the Jewish biblical principles. They have a thing they say, whoever saves a life saves the entire world, and whoever destroys a life destroys the entire world. And they look at this thing as universal, where in the Islamic religion, the killing of a Jew is not punishable the same way as if a Jew kills a Muslim or a Christian kills a Muslim. So the treatment and the thinking is totally different in the faith itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hear. It doesn't matter what you believe. Actually, this is so wrong because it does matter what we believe. What we believe dictates the way we live. Mm. And that's the evidence of it.
Right. Ideas have consequences.
That's right.
And so you grew up, so your father grew up with this Grand Mufti of Jerusalem visiting the home.
Right.
And so the hatred that was instilled in your family goes back at least that far, and you grew up with it.
That's right, and it was way before the so-called occupation. This annihilation of the Jewish people came as part of a collaboration with Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler. In fact, there's so much documentation that proves this fact, showing all the Arab pogroms and murders of so many thousands of Jews and the destruction of their property, taking their property in bank accounts and forcing 800,000 Jews to leave the Muslim world, forcing them to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And all these were absorbed and were treated well in Israel. They were Jewish people who ended up becoming citizens of Israel. And at the same ratio, the Arab populations left the land for an order from the Arabs. I was there in the Six Days War, even. Not only just 1948, but in the Six Days War, right prior to the war.
That was 1973?
1967.
67, sorry.
The Arab media asked all the population to leave. And I remember I was living in Jericho. And I remember my classmates. We had 41 students. And after the war was over, there was only 9 students left, which means three-quarters of Jericho fled.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason at all, before even a bullet was fired.
And in 1948, Israel's declared a nation.
That's right.
And the neighboring Arab nations immediately declare war and march on Israel. And so Arabs living there, today we'd call them Palestinians, they fled before the oncoming Arab armies, as often happens in a wartime. Civilians flee.
That's right.
And so the Arab nations displaced their Arab brethren who were living in the land of Israel by their own aggression.
And then blamed Israel in front of the whole world that they created a refugee problem when
right.
It was they who created the refugee problem.
And the Arab neighbors are thrilled with the refugee camps. They don't want to absorb these Arab peoples because they want their misery to be used as a tool, a political ploy.
That's right. It's an ace in the hole. And I'm an Arab Israeli, you know, quote Palestinian, if you will, who's speaking out and saying, no, I'd like to speak out on the behalf of my people. So that's why the PLO considers me a traitor, but in fact, they're the ones who betrayed their people.
Wally, what would happen to you if you were right now in Bethlehem, the city of your birth, and it was known by Hamas that you were there?
Well, I don't recommend to your listeners to watch some of the graphic footage that I have to see regarding to what they do to people over there. They have lynching. They lynch people. They, as a matter of fact, most of the extermination that happens to Arabs by Arabs without any legal process, without due process, they can declare you as a traitor, take you off in the street, and shoot you. It is such a lawless society in this point.
Even the number of those killed since the current intifada, I think that some hundreds of that number of Palestinians, they count people they kill themselves.
Exactly. That's what's happening.
They have fighting between whatever, if they think a Palestinian has spoken to a Jewish person or is maybe given information, and they kill that person, and they chalk that up as a Palestinian killed by the Jews.
That's right. Now imagine if
hundreds like that.
That's right. Now imagine if this happens to a Jew who's walking and getting lost in the Arab territories. You know, I mean, they're killing each other so badly, but what if a Jew is lost? Look at the situation in Ramallah. That's a big example, a very strong example, to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt how horrific the situation is. Two reservists gets lost in Ramallah, gets taken to police station. The entire city of Ramallah, including Arafat's police, under the auspices and supervision of Arafat's police, take these two, and they got them out, take their guts and internals, their hearts, and then they display them in front of the public, and people sit there and share in cannibalistic fashion, in a religious frenzy of Allahu Akbar, God is great, you know, and praising Allah publicly after they do such horrific act. I mean, it's literally a ritualistic, cannibalistic behavior by an entire city of Ramallah. Now, you know, we can blame Arafat all we want, but can't we at least blame the attitude of the people as well?
Well,
the people have gotten into a savage frenzy whenever they hear the word Jew.
Right. What's happened is we now have not just terrorist organizations in the West Bank and Gaza and elsewhere, but we have a culture of terror where the educational institutions, the media, the religious institutions, they all promote, and they work together, and they promote terror.
And that's what's been taught in schools, day in and day out, in the social studies, in the mosque sermons, on the Temple Mount itself by Ikrimah Sabri, who is the predecessor of Hajj Amin al-Husseini, in the public media, in the TV, radio, in the word puzzle, in the newspapers, on the streets. You cannot find a single meter of wall on, quote, Palestine. Any walls you can walk, you can see all the graffiti. So the brainwash is everywhere you go. And the brainwash is so bad, it is worse than what you had in Nazi Germany. Now compound this problem a little further. You can go to countries like Iran. You can go to Sudan. You can go to Syria. You can go to Lebanon. You can go to many of these Arab Muslim countries, and you'll find the same things going on. You go to turn on the TV in Dubai or one of these countries, and you find comedy that portrays Sharon as Dracula.
Well,
and,
Wally, on our website, KGOV.com, we have a link right now on our front page. We've had it there for the last week, expecting your visit. It says startling Arab TV clips and comedy. And when you click on that, you go to Abrahamic-faith.com.
Oh, I'm honored.
Yes. And I got to tell you, Wally, I watched every one of these clips, a half a dozen or so, including Dubai's sick comedy.
Right.
And they are devastating to watch, these startling clips of what's airing on Arab television.
That's right.
We need to go to the bottom of the hour break. Are you able to hang on with us through
I'll
the end of the show?
I'll hang down all night with you.
Okay, we got another half hour coming up with Waleed Shubat. It's an honor to have him on, and I can't wait to continue. Howdy to those listening in via the internet. Right now, we've got just 40 seconds until our Denver audience rejoins us. But earlier, I told you about God and the Death Mount. No. Mount Moriah, our video, The Evidence for the Resurrection, and then a Bible tour of Israel. Well, a bit more on a Bible tour of Israel. As we travel through the land, we bring our videographer with us, and we've got our Bibles open. And in city after city, site after site, we see that there is evidence that remains, geological, historical, cultural evidence that helps to confirm different parts of the Bible story. And it is so awesome to see the Bible and see the evidence that still remains thousands of years later of its stories. And welcome to those listening in Denver. This is a live commercial break. So I'm encouraging you tonight about our videos. We've got Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and then a Bible tour of Israel. We've had people tell us you feel like you're on the tour with Bob and Yurt Live. In fact, May 25th, we're going to Turkey for a 17-day trip. It's going to be great. But right now I'm telling you about our Bible Tour of Israel video. And then those two videos, along with the third-party video that we have just started promoting a couple months ago, Mountain of Fire, the real Mount Sinai. Wow. That video, and we've got that only on DVD, but those three videos will give you evidence for the story of the Bible, especially the Exodus and the time Moses spent at Mount Sinai. It is thrilling to watch this video. It will send chills down your spine, how good Mountain of Fire is. And then Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. There's evidence for the Exodus story, overwhelming evidence for the resurrection, and a Bible tour of Israel to help the whole Bible come together so you can understand the story. Call us at 1-800-8-NYART or order online at kgov.com. We're back, Bob and Yurt Live, and we have on the line Waleed Shubat. Again, Wally, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
When I click on this at our website, I click on where we've got, it says Startling Arab TV Clips and Comedy. Could you describe, I've watched them all, I could describe every one, but why don't you tell us what people can see if they go there right now?
Well, you have children with marks on their foreheads. Their mothers given them for martyrdom, to blow themselves up, to commit suicide, in the process of killing Jews. I don't know if you have the clip on Iran, which is very interesting. The clip on Iran showing the Iranian military for information of this nuclear rocket that hits the Mogan David, the Star of David, splits it in two, hits the U.S. and splits it in two. Even though Israel has never done a single thing against the Iranian people, yet they have this in mass amount of expedition there. You have clips of the killings of Palestinians with each other, honor killings.
I see, for example, in Dubai, the children getting together and
yes.
being interviewed on a news program and saying that Jews are pigs, Jews are dogs,
yes.
Jews should die, Bush should die,
yes.
all Palestinians, all Arabs should take guns and kill
yes.
all the
that
Jews.
That was me. This was exactly how I used to be until I ran into the scriptures. And boy, they tell people not to read about Israel in the scriptures. And they want to convert people to Christianity without them knowing the truth about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame.
I think if people don't have a lot of time to view all these, maybe eight video clips, the one about the from Dubai, you say here, Hitler's youth.
Yes.
Not only in Palestine, but all over. This is from Dubai.
That's right.
That clip is devastating. And then the next one is a comedy. How long is it, 15 minutes?
Yeah. The Dracula.
Yeah.
Dracula.
Yeah, and they show it's this big drama of the Jews and Sharon, and they're drinking Arab blood.
Yes.
Which goes back really through the Middle Ages, the hatred of the Jews.
That's right. Now think of this fiction in the same model when you see what happened in Ramallah. They're doing the real thing. They're doing the real thing of Jewish blood, you see, and then they're accusing the Jews of the same thing they're doing. In every single case you see, every single accusation you see, they accuse Israel of something. In reality, they're the ones who are doing it. They're the ones who are occupiers because they occupy the minds of these children, day in and day out. That's the true occupation. True occupation is when you occupy somebody with hatred, malice, you know. It's not, there was never an occupation of Palestine.
Well, why don't we talk about that? And the very, let me just, in 30 seconds, I could tell you how I present it to a caller, and you could tell me if I'm right or not. If somebody says that the Jews have taken the Palestinian people's land, I point out to them that before 1948, when Israel gained control of their land again, there was no Palestinian king or president. There was no Palestinian constitution. There was no Palestinian currency. They had no coin, no paper money. How could you have a land when you don't have a leader, you don't have laws, you don't have money, you don't have boundaries? There was no Palestinian land. That's a fabrication.
That's right. Let's add more to that. Prior to the Six Days War, the Palestinian Charter never included Judea and Samaria as part of the lands they were asking for. Gaza was part of Egypt, and the so-called West Bank was part of Jordan.
Right, and the Golan Heights is Syria.
That's right. And all of this was never an issue. As soon as the Six Days War happened, I guess Yasser Arafat remembered to put that in his charter. Could that have been missed?
Right.
It's a real joke.
Right. And so the Arab nations continually attacked Israel. And so Israel, to form a buffer with Egypt, took the Gaza Strip.
That's right.
And to form a buffer with Jordan, took the West Bank, which is just the land alongside Israel's side of the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
And because Syria had 30 years of aggression on Jewish farmers in the north and living in kibbutzes, you couldn't get more peaceful. And they lobbed mortars on farmers for 30 years.
Exactly. And they were doing that way before. Even my father would tell me the stories. They were living in Bethlehem. They would attack a village named Ramat Rahel. And they would rape, pillage, and booty, and then end up killing each other over the booty. Mm. So
So Israel then, in one night, said, that's it, and they took the Golan Heights, which was said they wouldn't be able to take. They took it in one night. Mm-hmm. And from that night, now what year was that?
I don't recall.
The Golan Heights, I'm sorry. Well, maybe that was in 67 or 73.
It was in 67. My recollection is 67, they took the Golan Heights, they took the Sinai, and they took Judea and Samaria.
And so that battle lasted one night, and they sent the troops they sent to take the Golan Heights were made exclusively of kids who grew up in the kibbutzes under that mortar fire, and they used to call it the monster in the mountain.
Yes.
Because you're 2 and 3 years old, and your family's afraid to go out. And you have to drive, try and stay behind the leaves of the trees.
Yes. You know, Israel won the war with one word, fear. Fear that the Arabs caused to each other. And if you look at Psalm 83, Psalm 83 depicts the exact battles. You know, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. They form a confederacy against you. And then it talks about these nations, the Ishmaelites, the Hagarites, the people of Tyre, which is very interesting. It says the people of Tyre because Tyre was destroyed, according to Ezekiel 26. But the people remained there, called the Lebanese.
Right.
All these, and the children of Lot, and all these, you know, Assyria came to help the children of Lot, came to help Jordan, exactly. Iraq, you know, all these countries. And then, I guess in verse, is it 16 or 18, it says, frighten them with your storm. God will frighten these enemies with his storm. And exactly what I saw when I was a kid. The Jordanian military would take their uniforms, running naked. It was definitely all these populations ran away from fear that was caused by the Arabs. So it was fear.
And after decades of the Syrians shelling the Jews from this a beautiful hillside on the
Kiryat Shmona
on the northeastern coast of the Sea of Galilee.
Yes.
Then the Jews took that land, and from that night to this day, not one shot has been fired in hostility from that land.
Finally, you have peace.
Not one shot. And yeah. But when I've been in Israel and I see liberal Jews with a bumper sticker that says Shalom, and I found out what that really means is give the Golan Heights back to Syria.
It's suicide.
That's what that means. Right. And Israel took these lands not from the Palestinian peoples, but from Syria, Jordan, and Egypt because they were continually being attacked.
That's right.
And that's a just cause to take an aggressor's land in a victorious war of defense.
That's right. And so, now we're realizing, you know, the Islamic nations that are coming against Israel really has been already prophesied in the Bible so many incidents, you know. I ask the question usually, can you name me one nation mentioned in Scripture regarding end times attack in Israel that is not Muslim, Arab, Muslim or Arab? I mean, there is a couple...
Well, how about Russia? Well, Mag...
Well, you see, there's a question, you know, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal,
yeah.
Or the Septuagint translation that says Rush. So that is only one issue that I could see would be... a debatable issue, but it could be that the word Rush means chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Meshech and Tubal is in Turkey, in the Turkic nations, and if you see it, Russia, there's the CIS nation, the Commonwealth of Independent States, five Muslim nations, divorced itself from communist Russia, and speak Turkish language. So it's very likely that it could be these nations as well. And so you have an entire mass. And you can't even disclude Turkey and these countries from the prophecies, even if we agree that it's Russia, because it mentions many other nations. It mentions Kush, which is, if you look at the word Kush, you know, what you see in the English translation is Ethiopia. If you read the word Kush in the original Hebrew and you look at the Bible dictionary, it tells you that this is the landmass south of Egypt. And what you see south of Egypt is Sudan. So Sudan killed about 1.5 to 2 million Christians, and it's one of the most notorious Islamic fundamentalist states. So if you read Ezekiel, that's also an area which I rarely see scholars look at, Ezekiel 27 all the way to 32. Mm-hmm. Look at all these nations and the cherub. You were in the Garden of Eden. It talks about this prince of Tyre.
And Ezekiel 31 is one of my favorite chapters.
Yeah, yeah. It talks about the cherub, you know. And
well, and Pharaoh is described as the tree that was in Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But, okay, so the Arab nations have developed this hatred against the Jews, and I believe that that hatred will keep them in misery and poverty.
Right, because Satan hates both Arabs and Jews. He hates everybody. And finally, I got to get liberated from this.
Right. And how did that happen?
It happened in 1993. I was trying to convert my wife to Islam, and she said, "Well, I, you know, what's the problem with the Bible I have that I believe in?" You know, she said, "Well, the problem is," I told her the problem was that the Jews were corruptors of the Bible. That's what we understood as Muslims. So I had to buy myself a $10 Bible.
Okay.
And I started, that was the best mistake I ever done. So I started looking from Genesis and understand the fall of man, what happened at the garden. That's an area where cults do not look at all.
Right.
Understood the need for salvation, the need for a savior, from the beginning of Genesis all the way down to Revelation.
Because mankind rebelled against God.
That's right. And with one word that I looked at through the entire Bible on the truth, that word is Israel. I looked up Israel and the entire Bible, and I saw myself as being the enemy of the Bible. I said, well, wait a minute.
Wow.
I thought I was righteous.
Wow.
I thought I was righteous, but then I started questioning myself. Could I not be the righteous one? And they're the righteous one. Then I started looking at true history, not the history I was educated when I was a child, but the true history of what really happened in that land, what Hitler's involvement and the Muslim involvement in destruction of the Jews throughout history. I started understanding that the Jews have never committed any atrocities in history. We're always persecuted in history. And how could God allow this persecution and this unjust thing to happen without him standing for them? Then I ran into Joel, and he talked about God coming down to judge the nation, for they have divided my land and they have scattered my people. Incredible verses, you know. And then I remember, and my mother told me, she was a Christian. She was a Christian American who was taken against her will, remained in the territories, you know, by my father, taking her passport away from her. And she had to confess Islam and kept her his serious Christian faith secretly. And then she told me there will be a division of that land because there's a prophet in Israel named Joel said so. And I recall 1993, remember what happened, the Oslo Peace Accord. I was shocked to see the Oslo Peace Accord dividing Israel. So I know that Joel was right. So I could, you know, I started seeing that the world is divided in between two people. People who want to believe there's a God and people who don't want to believe there's a God, but cannot deny that these prophets guessed these things 100%. How could the world deny these things happened 100%?
Well, like, for example, when the Bible says that in the end times that Israel will be the troublesome spot of all the world.
The burdensome stone for all surrounding nations. Look up surrounding nations. These are what the surrounding nations around Israel. Take a spiral and go around Israel and around Israel, and you'll see these nations. In fact, Islamic prophecies have set that up, you know, right alongside biblical prophecies, where Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, stated that the day of judgment shall not come to pass until the tribes of Islam defeat the tribes of Israel in Jerusalem and the surrounding nations. Then the trees will cry out, here's a Jew hiding behind me. Come, O Muslim, come, O slave of Allah, come and kill him.
Oh my.
Why is this hatred towards the Jews that the end will not come until every Jew is murdered in the world? So there is a quite opposing views from these two faiths. Mm. So how could God be contradicting himself and making one faith to say, kill Jews, and one faith, he saves Jews? In fact, the Islamic Messiah, you know, they believe that Jesus is coming back, but he comes back from Syria to fight the false Messiah who comes out of Jerusalem leading the Christians and the Jews. So your true Messiah is their false Messiah.
Okay, now run that by us again here.
All right. Your true Messiah is Islam's false Messiah. Islam's false Messiah is your true Messiah.
All right.
Because they say that the Messiah will come to destroy the cross.
Meaning who?
Jesus.
They say that Jesus will come back.
Will come back, destroy the cross.
Destroy Christianity.
Destroy Christianity, exactly. And Jesus will come out of the north, Syria. That's what they say. And the false Jesus comes out of Jerusalem, leading the Jews and the Christians. Remember, when Jesus comes, he will defend the Christians and the Jews in our faith. In their faith, that's the false Jesus.
Right.
So your true Jesus is their false Jesus.
Right, right.
You understand?
Yes.
And everything is intertwined in this fashion. So when the Muslim understands who Jesus is, they're really understanding the false Jesus. And remember what John said. He said, who is the liar, he who denies that Christ came in the flesh, that God coming in the flesh. He is a liar who denies Father. He's an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So if you look at Islam, it's a religion that literally denies the Trinity, denies Father and Son. You can't say the antichrist could be Jewish because the Jews call Father, God, Father, Abba. They say Father. You know, there's no problem with that. And you can't say they're Catholics because the Catholics believe in Father and the Son. Only Islam vehemently stands against father and son issue. Talk to any Muslim. Say, what don't you like about our faith? They will tell you, God is not father, God is not son. So it is already an antichrist system. Mm-hmm. And it's already vibrant today, growing like crazy.
And when we were in Israel this last trip, we went to the old city, which was a little scary, actually, at this time right now. It's a little scary just to go into the old city. We used to go into Bethlehem, and we haven't done that lately. Mm-hmm. And we don't even go into Jericho.
No, you don't want to do that anymore. I don't suggest anybody will do this.
No, but we go into the old city, and even that's a bit scary. And we're having a conversation with two Palestinian business owners about the Bible, and we being ignorant conservative Christian Americans, we're trying to witness to them.
Mm.
And so we're telling them that Abraham offered up Isaac on Mount Moriah and that Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah, which is in Jerusalem.
That's right.
And they said, no, Mount Moriah is in Saudi Arabia. And what's frustrating about this is they don't believe that the Jews ever built a temple in Jerusalem ever. There were three temples built in Jerusalem, or two in a renovation. They don't believe that ever happened. Their history begins 2,500 years after Israel's history was recorded, some of it. And so they have 2,500 years of then they take the Jewish Bible and they pervert it and they make it into a fabricated revisionist history.
Then the argument towards them would be, so if you don't believe that there's any holiness to Jerusalem, why the claim over Jerusalem? You know, the Quran itself doesn't claim any holiness of Jerusalem. In fact, Muhammad changed the form of worship from Jerusalem to Mecca. So why the claim over Jerusalem then?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they say that Muhammad ascended into heaven there.
Yes, but you see, this is what Hajj Amin al-Husseini started, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. This was never taught prior to Hajj Amin al-Husseini. There's a verse in the Quran that talks about Muhammad's ascension from Mecca to Medina, not from Mecca to Jerusalem. Hmm. See, that's a fabrication later on to say he went all the way to Jerusalem to make a claim over Jerusalem.
Oh, I didn't realize that was
a
modern
historical... In the Temple Mount itself, there's verses of the Quran all over the Temple Mount inside, chiseled, over, hundreds of verses.
We've been there.
Not one mentions Jerusalem.
Hmm.
You know, the whole idea was building that dome was a rivalry between caliphs. You know, Abdul Malik bin Marwan built, and Walid ibn Abdul Malik built it, and then it was a rivalry, and he tried to establish his central headquarters as the main thing, and it never worked out.
You know, right.
So there was never an intention of making Jerusalem anything holy. And in fact, if you look at all the ancient kings, leaders, and caliphs and all these things, besides Omar taking over Jerusalem and leaving it, there is no king has ever visited Jerusalem except King Hussein and his father King Abdullah or King Faisal. Two, three kings altogether. How come nobody visited Jerusalem if it's so important?
They didn't. In the Quran, it never mentions Jerusalem,
yes,
right?
It only became important when the Jewish people came back to that land.
And in the Bible, I've got my Bible here on Al the Fifth, my co-host computer here. And I looked up Jerusalem right now. It appears 822 times in the Bible, Old and New Testament, and not once in the Quran.
Not once.
And the Islamic world says Jerusalem is such a holy place to them.
That's right. Hmm. Yeah. See, this whole thing with cults is they try to divert holiness to other places. If you look at Mormonism versus Islam, you find much in common. You know, you find in Islamic religion diversion of the holy places, multiple wives between Mormonism and Islam, hmm. Muhammad going to Ghar Hira, which is a cave, Joseph Smith going to a secluded place, tablets of stone. You know, Joseph Smith came out with the Book of Mormon, supposedly printed on tablets of different metals.
Right.
In Islam, they call it al-lawh al-mahfuz, which means written on tablets of stones, replica from heaven. The same exact thing. An angel of light came to Joseph Smith, an angel of light came to Muhammad, and it's the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, the devil has a routine.
He has a routine, yes.
Yeah, and he changes some of the names are changed to protect the guilty.
That's right. And he cellophane wraps it
right. And
makes it look nice on the outside, but inside it's pretty bad, you know. You have the right to take women and consider them concubines in war and battles. So, you know, you could say the mass rape in Sudan that happens today is absolutely okay, you know, in their faith. So you have the mass slaughter of 1.5 million Armenians in Turkey, happened in 1918. This is recent history. How do you explain all these massacres that happened? And it's supposed to be righteous massacres.
Yeah,
and remember, the Bible says the day is coming when someone who will be killing you will be thinking they're doing God a service.
Right.
And then you look in Revelation, I saw the ones who were beheaded in the name of Jesus. Who does beheading, you know?
Right, exactly. So, all right, Wally, this whole story is riveting that you grew up like this and now you have not only seen that Jesus Christ is the Savior, but you've begun to defend Israel.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your website, how people could find out more about what you do.
Well, go to Abrahamic-faith.com, Abrahamic-faith.com. If people like to write me, I welcome that as well. They can write me at z1@mail.com. Z1, one word, theone@mail.com. And I'd be glad to get any suggestions or speaking engagements and things like that. And and I have three books written. One is called Dear Muslim, Let Me Tell You Why I Believed. It's not published. It's for reading online for anybody who wants. And Israel and the World's Mock Trial, How the World mock trials Israel and the truth behind Israel from biblical perspective and historic perspective as well. Dear Muslim handles several issues. It handles the science in the Quran versus the Bible. It handles the prophecies. It handles so much stuff. And literally I had hundreds of debates in the internet and much material that I've studied and offered to people for free.
Waleed, on the lighter side, you have a couple jokes on your website, and I gotta let you know what we figured out here at Bob and Yurt Live. The male terrorist suicide bombers, mm-hmm. we've heard that they go to paradise and they get 70 virgins.
72 virgins.
72. And so we figured out, we wondered what did the female suicide bombers get, and we figured it out.
Yes.
They get to opt out. They get to not be one of the virgins. That's what they get. That's it, and that's enough for them.
Actually, if you come to think of it, it's not just 72 virgins. It's 72 rooms, in each room 72 sheets, and on each sheet 72 virgins. So you can calculate that and see. See,
well,
if something is free, you know, they can just give it out as much as they want, you know.
It's not true,
so I can give it out as much as I want.
You could calculate that if you don't go to an Islamic school in Pakistan.
Yes.
Because they don't teach math or history or science. They are indoctrinating kids into this hatred religion, hating the Jews, hating the Americans.
Yes.
And it's only going to bring further misery down upon their own heads, which is what wickedness always does.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, we think about Nazi Germany and what they did in the Holocaust. You know, you think that the yellow star that they used to put on the shoulders of the Jews, you know, you would think that this came out of Nazi Germany. If you look at the Omar Declaration, which is in my material, the Omar Declaration, who was the second caliph in Islam, he was one of the friends of Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. If you look at his declaration, it states very clearly, Jews must wear yellow patches right there. Jews
wow.
must not walk in the regular streets, but must walk in narrow alleyways. Jews must never build their homes above Muslim homes. Jews must never have their gravesite above the ground. Jews must pay special taxations. You know, and if you look at the history, it's been practiced in the Islamic world from the eons of time.
Now, yes. And it's sad that also, Wally, I'm a Christian. But I've had to admit, I've done the research and seen that Christian organizations for centuries have had a hatred for Jews and
absolutely.
Have been
but you
anti-Semitic.
Know, the best thing that happened is in the 1800s when Christians started looking into the Bible and finding out Israel coming to be a fact.
Mm. Yes.
Hey, you don't do this anymore.
Well, and those who do get, you know, we call them out. There's yes. hatred all over the world. Between all kinds of peoples, but God will set it all straight eventually.
That's right. Amen.
Waleed, God bless you.
You as well.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Shalom.
God bless you. Shalom.
Bye-bye.
That was neat to have Waleed Shoebat. The spelling of his name is Shoebat. That's Walid, Waleed, Shoe, Bat, Bat. And his website was abrahamic-faith.com. If you go to kgov.com, you're going to want it. All you have to do is click on our top bullet, startling Arab TV clips and comedy. It'll blow your mind. It's devastating. Just absolutely devastating what's passing for acceptable on Arab television. And what was the clip I pointed out earlier? Oh, the one about from Dubai. It says, from Dubai. You got to see it. All right, we're out of time. Looking forward to tomorrow night in a better voice. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.